And Brother Matt said it was an alternate reason why Brother Stephen was in the platform tonight. It was my joke from the last time. He didn't want to be left up on here. But anyway, I appreciate that message and song so much from Brother Hester. That was a blessing, touched my heart, and I appreciate him and the tour group. They were with us just a couple weeks back at our teen retreat we had, and they did a phenomenal job singing, and Brother Hester did some other things there. I appreciate that so much, and I see Brother Brett. I had heard that he's back in the sound room, got promoted up there. Him and Stephen, they two on the end there from our church singing in the tour group. And that was a blessing to see that. I'm glad the training I've led them in music-wise has really paid off now. And they're really using it well to be a blessing to you here, and I appreciate that so much. And then we have Rachel and Hannah and Stephanie still here at the college from our church, and we brought seven others to look at the school here. The next couple days we'll be around doing various things, and just stand, if you will, my group here from Heritage Baptist Church. All right, there. Good looking group there, except for the three guys there in the front. And all right, very good. Tommy's the one in the middle right there. He is still single and available. His dad told me to just kind of help him out. He's in search of a future wife. He said that. So you guys can go ahead and be seated. And his sister's Hannah. Hannah's there, the one that's in the second row. And first semester, she said she was not going to date. She was to concentrate on her studies and her work. But church, what semester is this now? This is semester number two. And I heard a rumor. I'm preaching tonight on humbleness. And I didn't go further with Brother Brett. I heard that he is courting a sweet young lady. I'm proud of him and her both. And excited for them, but they're both humble. And Tommy's a humble young man. I kind of stopped on him. But Hannah Joy Arnold, on the other hand. How many think I should stop for Hannah's sake on that? Okay. How many like for me to elaborate a little bit more on that? Top vote wins. Spring banquet, Brother Lewis, coming up here, right? All right. She's watching for a certain individual, too, to come her way. Hannah, you owe me later, right? All right. Thank you, Hannah. I'll stop on that note. But that was great to arrive here. I appreciate all the prayers for me of late. I've been feeling better, recuperating much. I've took advice from many a people. Jeff Cruz, he is not one of them that I took the advice from. Brother Lonnie Mattingly did give some good advice, trying to put some weight back on me, and he gave the advice about just go to McDonald's, order the Obama Happy Meal. You go to the front, tell them what you want, full spread, and make the guy behind you pay for it. So I'll try that out for a little bit and see what comes across there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you will. And I am preaching tonight on humbleness. Humbleness. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's a dangerous time, perilous. And the Bible says then in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud. Concentrate on that word tonight, proud, but the alternate, humbleness. Story I like to start off the night, little introduction. There was an elderly man. Now, the elderly aren't quite respected like they once were. There was an elderly man, and he had lived with his son and daughter-in-law, and he was in his 90s now. And he was so respected, paid every bill on time, always did what was right. His handshake was worth gold. But again, he's gotten up there in years, and his hands tremored some, and when he came time to eat, the food didn't always quite get to his mouth, got over his shirt some, and he would sit at the table, and the son, it didn't bother him a bit. Grandson, grandpa was just a king to him, didn't bother him, but the daughter-in-law, it was a problem to her. She'd try to have a conversation back and forth, but it just kept bothering her. Grandpa would just keep getting food all over him. Finally, one day, she had enough. She took him by the arm and sat him over in the corner of the room. Just let him fend for himself. One day, he spilt the whole bowl all over the floor everywhere. And she said, that's it. She went to the cupboard, and she took a great big wooden bowl and took it over to him and said, you want to eat like a pig? Here is your trough. The son was furious, but he still didn't say anything that would have caused waves in the family. Grandson was embarrassed, but she was still just livid. Until one day, little Junior's about 9 or 10 now, and he was playing with some Legos off to the side, and she kind of saw him look peculiar. She said, Junior, what are you making now? He said, Mommy, I'm just making a little trough so when you and Daddy get older, I can take care of you too. Grandpa never ate in the corner ever again and quickly got back to the table. And what she learned that day was a little thing of humility and dignity. And we need to get back to that again. We read here, Apostle Paul, we do live in dangerous times. And I appreciate, again, that message sincerely so much from Brother Hester. We know this as Paul, the writer here in 2 Timothy, writer of many of the New Testament books, 13 for that matter. During the time of Jesus on this earth, New Testament time, Rome was a world power. They were famous for their power, their culture, their philosophy. And one philosopher said this, Rome is so mighty, Rome has so much power, they will never be able to be destroyed from without. They will only be able to be destroyed from within. History tells us they had horrible morality, low family values. They had a redistributing of the wealth and 213 national holidays a year. What caused the problem? Pride, puffed up of self. But we fast forward 2,000 years, United States of America. Oh, I love our country, still the greatest in the world, the most powerful country in the world. Powerful military, wonderful education, great culture. But things have changed. I've enjoyed the singing all day. Great message, Brother Stephen, this morning. Appreciate the Sunday school lesson, Pastor Carter. Great. I love the story of the 85-year-old grandma, Grandma Smith, got robbed by the burglar, and he failed to realize Smith and Wesson were sleeping with Grandma Smith. 60 years ago, in Grandma Smith's day, we would have never dreamed of killing a baby. 60 years ago, we would have never dreamed of two men or two ladies being together. Now, biblically, unless you can reproduce, there's no scriptural way for marriage. We've come a long way since the days of Grandma Smith. just how far have we come? I love my wife to death, but there's a couple things that I just have a little problem with. Just a couple. One is her driving skills. I mentioned that last time, I think. Yeah, I have some amens on that. We're making an annual event. We brought some college students down last year, and the men kissed the ground when they got here after her driving, and they did the same again this year. Her driving skills are not the greatest, just to kind of be honest. I kept on saying, honey, it's 55. Okay. Look, you're going 75. Honey, it's 55. You're going 75. And that reminded me, got to the point where there was a man driving down the road. Policeman pulled him over. He's off to the side. He got off to the side, and the police officer came right to the passenger side window and said, sir, you were speeding. He said, no, I wasn't. I had the crew set at 55. The wife said, officer, he was speeding. I kept on telling him to put it down, and right then he just cursed at his wife. Set the officer back aside, and he said, by the way, you wasn't wearing your seatbelt. He says, yes, I was. I have it on. She said, no, you just put it on. I know none of you have ever been there before, but he cursed at her again. And it took him, police officer, back a bit. He said, ma'am, does he always talk to you like that? No, sir, officer, only when he's drunk is when he talks to me like that. That thought just entered my mind when I said that. Love my wife to death, but one, her driving skills aren't the greatest. And number two, she has a show that I can't stand. It's called What Not to Wear. Ladies, how many of you have watched that often? Some of you did. Men, how many of you watched that often? We got some good men in this room tonight. But she was watching that program not too long ago, and she came to me and says, you never know what they said is going to be the new fashion statement coming out in the fall. It is men's skirts. Yeah, men's skirts. Better not be fashion statement around here. Guarantee that. Men's skirts, not in Grandma Smith's day. No. Where are we at in America? Still the greatest country in the world. We're at a place where there's 180,000 sex changes every year in America. Here's the kicker. They say those are now tax deductible. I was flipping through one of my favorite channels the other day. I usually watch Fox News, a ball game, or I watch TV Land. I came across All in the Family. How many watched All in the Family? Yeah, Archie, Edith, sitting on the piano. And they started singing a song. I thought, that is preaching material right there. She started singing. You knew who you were then. Girls were girls and men were men. Yes, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Get this? You didn't need no welfare state where everybody pulled their weight. Those were the days. Thank you. What's everybody laughing at? So you don't believe me that I trained Brett and Stephen to sing at Heritage Baptist Church right there. No, but there's a lot of truth to that right there. We need to get back to the days of Grandma Smith, and the problem is pride has caused us to lose our dignity. Pride. Pride in our country and pride in our churches. 47 churches closing their doors every week in America. There's a problem with that. There's a problem with pride, even in the independent fundamental Baptist circles. Pride. Pride is the problem. Pride with individuals, with husband-wife relationship, with parent-child relationship. Pride. So what do you mean, pride? That's when people talk back and forth, husband and wife with each other, and one always has to have the last word. What do you call that? You call it pride. John Maxwell, great preacher turned author, said first 2 years of his marriage, everything was great. He said he won every single argument. How many of you men, you love winning arguments, right? Yeah, you love it. You never do, but you love winning them. But he said he won every one, every argument he won. 2 years until one day a note from his wife changed his life. Said, "Dear John, you're a great preacher. You're sweet with your words. Wonderful leader. And yes, you win every argument. But with every argument you're winning, you're losing my heart." The problem often is pride. James chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Humbleness. Humbleness will get all of us a long way in this life. If you want to be humble, three things, three ways to test yourself tonight in humbleness. Three A's. Number one, to be humble, you need an attitude of being teachable. You need an attitude of being teachable. Really, if one thinks they've arrived, they're in trouble. See, tonight you're at a wonderful place at Lamar Baptist Church. You might have came here and said, "I can't wait to hear Dr. Mickey Carter preach. He's one of my favorites." You might have come and said, "Pastor Stephen, great preacher, wonderful." Or maybe even great youth pastor, one of the best in the world, Brother Matt Pouts, I'd love to hear him preach. But you're stuck with me. That's what you're thinking. See, the Bible talked about, said some love Paul, some love Apollos, and some love Peter. Early church, Paul, people loved him for his wisdom. Dr. Carter, a man with wisdom for sure. Some love Apollos, Pastor Stephen, eloquent. Great message this morning. But some love Peter. He was the fireball. Ball, full of energy and zeal. But all were needed and all were important. So I can joke around with him. I love him so much. Good friend. See, you can joke with someone's weight. I put on a couple pounds here of late. And I know you're surprised. I was afraid I was going to have to hide behind this microphone. I was getting so skinny. But anyway, all three were great. All three were important. And all three were needed. When I first came here, I was amazed with Dr. Carter's wisdom. And one of the first sermons I ever heard him preach was with Brother Glenn Riggs at the Starlight Baptist Church there in Orlando. I had a conference, and I came to hear him. And you know, he's still standing for the same thing he did then, 1994. The first sermon I really heard him preach. I don't remember the ins and outs. I remember the end. There was a gentleman that was trying to bring the Word of God to his people. I remember what land. He told the story. I'll probably get it mixed up. He told the story, the statement he left off in the end. Some people in the government were trying to find him, and he said, "My hammer breaks, but God's anvil stands." He preached on the King James Bible. What a wonderful truth. Haven't heard that sermon preached in 16 years, but a wonderful sermon. Right behind him, I said that because behind him was Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Jack Hiles got up to preach that night, and it amazed me. 16 years ago, he got up to preach, and he was talking about the warning the crowd that was crucifying our Savior. And he started naming Judas and Joy, those 30 pieces of silver. This is your hour and the power of darkness. He went on and said, Caiaphas, high priest, enjoy yourself. This is your hour and the power of darkness. He went on and said, Pilate, enjoy the blood dripping off of your hands of our innocent Savior. This is your hour and the power of darkness. He went on and he started naming the rock music crowd time-wise. He said, Madonna, enjoy yourself. This is your hour and the power of darkness. And fitting, he said, Michael Jackson, live it up. This is your hour and the power of darkness. He said, Hollywood crowd, live it up. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Oprah, Tom Cruise, live it up. This is your hour and the power of darkness. But an hour is going to end, because Sunday is coming. And Jesus Christ arose from the grave, and one day they'll stand before our Savior. I remember that sermon from 16 years ago. Why? Because when I came here, my pastor told me, he said, Rodney, when you come, make yourself teachable. And any of the compliments my wife has given me, which really aren't a whole lot, she said, you've made yourself teachable. And I've learned that from a lot of men along the way to make myself teachable. And I said that as well because Jack Hiles said this. He said, every man is my teacher, for he knows something I do not know. I look across that after I said that, and I see Dr. Al Lacey right there. And I got some advice from Brother Lacey not too long ago, and Dr. Jack Hiles said this. Said to us, he was preaching right behind Brother Al Lacey. Brother Al Lacey preached a message several years back on the inspiration of the King James Bible. He preached right before Brother Hiles. And when Brother Lacey was done preaching, Brother Hiles took him aside and said, Brother Lacey, thank you for turning around my position on the inspiration of the King James Bible. And he had him to teach at the college every year after that till he went to heaven. See, he was a humble enough man to say, I was wrong. Every man is my teacher, for he knows something I do not know. I've done my best to make myself teachable over the years since my salvation day at Landmark Baptist College, August 8, 1994. Since then, right when that took place, the likes of Dr. Lee, president then at the Bible College, took me under his wings and taught me the basics. Taught me about salvation, and I got it settled. Taught me about tithing, I got it settled. Taught me about soul winning. I got it settled. And you know what I've done since then? I try to implement that philosophy in my life. The philosophy of Dr. Jack Hiles, every man is my teacher, for he knows something I do not know. I've took tithing, I've took soul winning, applied it to my life. I brought it to Heritage Baptist Church, and I challenged on a regular basis. I challenged our church on tithing, and I challenged on soul winning. We have a goal this year of getting the gospel to 100,000 people in our little area. 100,000 people, and we're on our way there. And as the pastor, the leader always must set an example. Always. So one night I realized, it's a late Friday night. I said, I have to do this. I have to meet my goal of the week. What happened was I started going through the A's of the phone book. Angela Anderson, I came across her name, and I called her and said, "Hey, my name's Pastor Rodney Noblet, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church." I said, "This is the greatest church in the world." Amen. Thank you. That was their cue. Greatest church in the world. So you got to come by, enjoy it. You'll love it. Just stop by this Sunday. And I said, if you died, you know for sure you go to heaven. She said, "No, I don't, but I'd like to know." I says, "Well, I can show you late Friday night, a letter to Christ over the phone." She said, "I'll be there Sunday." And I'm thinking, yeah, right, I've heard that many a time. But that Sunday, she came. She came, and she brought her son, Scott Foster, about 30 years old. Scott Foster came forward that Sunday morning. He also got saved. And he gave the testimony. It was this. He said, "I was praying to God all week long that if he got me a job, I'd go to church on Sunday. And just sure enough, he got me a job. This weekend, I start tomorrow, and I thought, surely, I'm going to go to the church that someone calls and invites me to." He came, and he got saved. How did that happen? It happened because some young preacher decided to be teachable. Teachable. "Every man is my teacher, for he knows something I do not know." Again, I tried applying that, reinforcing it again and again and again to our young people. I asked Tommy to stand right there. No, not now. Everybody knows who you are. Earlier I did. Yeah, he does want a wife right there. He does. Right there is Timmy Duncan. Timmy Duncan, he's been a tremendous blessing to me and our church and our young people. No one's invited more people to church probably than Tim Duncan. And in fact, one day he invited Mr. Andrew Meeks right there. Mr. Andrew Meeks, he decided that he didn't like it at Heritage Baptist Church. See, he came to Heritage Baptist Church and realized that the pastor enforces a 6-inch rule. He didn't like it. The pastor talks over and over again, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to get married, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. I shortened it up real quick. He didn't like it, so he quit coming. Until Timmy's enforcing him again, get to church. He came back and came for about 3 or 4 more weeks. An Easter Sunday morning, Andrew Meeks got saved. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, Andrew Meeks got saved. What happened? Well, when you really get saved, there's just a difference in your heart. Andrew Meeks got a haircut. You should have seen it. I didn't preach on haircuts then, but you know what? It's a shame for a man to have long hair, the Bible says. The son within him told him to get a haircut. It looks pretty good right there. All right, he amen me the first time in a while. We're teaching him some things here. But see, he's on fire. He reminds me so much of me, poor soul. Teachable. Here's how innocent he is in the matter. He said he's not going to go to prom this year because the pastor warned against the evils of rotten music. Pastor talks about it's good for a man not to touch a woman, so he's not going to go to the prom this year. I'm proud of him for that. The innocence of the matter. He keeps on talking about, "Pastor, they need one of those salvation papers." Those are called gospel tracts. We call them salvation papers, and that's fine. What you call that is a teachable spirit. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Tonight, how teachable are you? What an attitude of teachableness. Number two, learning to be humble, testing yourself. You must admit your weaknesses. You must admit your weaknesses. See, we all have them. How many know your weaknesses tonight? Okay. Just ask your wife, men, if you don't know yours yet either. She'll tell you. See, when I came here, number one, it was a teachable spirit I had to have. Pastor Ron Wallace, trust them when you come. Go there. Just do what they say. And that was easy for me. I walked up here. I knew my weaknesses. I knew basically zero about the Word of God. I came here. My grandpa dropped me off on 27 just before I arrived on campus of Landmark Baptist College. I changed from my tank top to a pullover shirt. I still kept on my gold necklace, and I had my almost John Stockton short shorts on, close to it. Grandpa dropped me off, and who met me out in the parking lot was Dr. Bill Hiltz, vice president of the college. Some of you men, you know what it's like back in the day, your unsaved days, when the girls just scanned you up and down. How many of you remember that? Some of you men remember that? Now, Jeff Cruz, no, definitely does not happen to him. But anyway, Dr. Bill Hiltz was just kind of scanning me up and down. And when he was looking at me, I'm thinking, I have so many weaknesses right now in my life. And I thought, I walked back in my dorm room and I met George Clark. George Clark, I'm so thankful that he kind of took me under his wing some. And I still had a teachable spirit. I applied things I learned from Pastor Carter, things I learned from Dr. Lee, things I learned from Al Lacey, and realized I have a lot of weaknesses in my life I need to get right. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. There's a professor at Edinburgh University. His name was Professor Black. He was one of those professors. He demanded excellence. He demanded excellence, and one day he asked a young man to stand up. He said, I want you to recite your speech. He stood up. Professor Black said, son, I command you to hold the book in the right hand. There was total silence. All of a sudden, the young man blurted out with as many words as he could. He said, sir, I do not have a right hand. He said, I only have a stump. Professor Black went back to the young man. He said, I'm sorry, for I did not know. Will you please forgive me? And he held the book for the young man and said, if you like, you can go ahead and continue your speech. He gave a phenomenal speech that day. And when the class was dismissed, Professor Black and the young man had a wonderful conversation. Best news for it all. They told each other their weaknesses. Professor Black yet led the young man to Jesus Christ. And the young man told him this, that, Professor, honestly, if you would have not apologized, I would have never listened to you. Tonight, really, who is it maybe that you just need to humble yourself to and go and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Humbleness. Humbleness, three things. one, an attitude of being teachable. Two, admitting your mistakes. And lastly, being accountable to others. Being accountable to others. We do live in a day and age when technology is around us. Maybe there needs to be a husband that comes to a wife and says, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." Or a child needs to go to a mom or a dad and say, "You need to check my cell phone. You need to check my Facebook. I'm sorry, I was wrong." Accountability is a big thing. I'll close with this. Our president hasn't quite lived up to the billing that many of us would like. In fact, our 16th president of the United States of America, President Abraham Lincoln, he failed many a time, but yet kept himself a humble man with dignity and accountable to others. President Lincoln one day went to a makeshift field hospital and was visiting the troops. He saw a wounded soldier there on the battlefield that day, and he went to him and he said, "Son, is there anything that I can do for you?" He said, "Sir, can you just write a letter for me?" He said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." He pulled out a pen, a tablet, and sat on a stool. He said, "Say on, young man." And the young man mustered up some words. The president penned down. He said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I have served my country well, and I have no regrets. Give John and Mary a kiss on the forehead, for I realize I will not be coming home. Mom and Dad," and he couldn't muster out anything else. President Lincoln finished the letter for him and wrote down, signing it at the bottom, "Signed by his pen man, President Abraham Lincoln." The young man's eyes were very dim, and he actually mustered up enough words and said, "President, is that really you?" He said, "Yes, son, it's me." "Now, is there really anything that I can do to show you kindness?" He said, "You've been kind enough, but will you just hold my hand a while?" And with that, President Abraham Lincoln held his hand for the next 11 hours until he went out into eternity. And to me, that's bigger than any Gettysburg Address. That's bigger than any national health care bill that could ever be written. That is a sign of a man with dignity and humbleness. We need to get back to that again today.